Namaste. Welcome to Call and Response Podcasts with Krishnadas, where he shares meaningful stories of his life on the path of his Guru Maharaji and integrating spiritual practice into our everyday lives. Call and Response Podcasts is an offering of the Kirtanmala Foundation. The foundation is dedicated to spreading the teachings of Neem Karoli Baba, a great spiritual teacher of India. If you are interested in supporting this podcast and the work of the foundation, please visit kirtanwalafoundation.org, KirtanWallah foundation.org.
So practice, you got to do practice. I'm sorry, you just have to.
With our eyes open and our hearts open.
But through a practice, you get used to coming back from being gone. It's more like an ability to let go.
Hi, Katie. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you for being here today. Is my home is right. Never talking to a mic, so it's weird. Okay. I was just wondering, you being Jewish, I'm Jewish as well, and
I'm Jewish on my parents' side.
Yeah, on your parents' side, yeah. You don't really practice anymore, do you? Any of the Judaic traditions?
Anymore?
Yeah. Or did you back as a child?
You know, my family is about Jewish as the Pope's family. You know, that's all I can tell you.
Well, I was reading the Yoga Sutras, and they were talking about turning to God, and I was in my yoga class, and we were all like talking about what does God mean to you, and mm-hmm. It was interesting to see how people were like corrupted by religion and how they grew up, and you know, like there was really nobody really mentioned the idea of the oneness. The idea of like oneness and what Christ teaches
us. Sure.
And, uh-huh. But I was wondering when you came into realization of that and who taught you that and what you thought of before, like a little bit about your changing of quote unquote awakening to realize that and how that helped you.
You know, a woman once said to me at a workshop, she said, last weekend I was at a Jewish weekend and they say you can't say the name of God. And I said, absolutely right. You can't. Maharaji used to say, go on, sing your lying Ram Ram. One of these days, you'll say it right once. Boom, you're out of here. The real realm will come. So we're practicing. You can't say the name of God because God is beyond name and form. It's beyond any concept. And anything that comes out of our mouths is a concept of some kind. So it can't be God. So that being said, I remember I actually was bar mitzvahed, and I went to Hebrew school to learn the Haftorah, they call it. And my Hebrew school teacher used to bang his head on the blackboard and said, if I didn't see this class, I would not believe it. And bang his head on it. Great memories. Yeah, you know, nobody in my family believed in God. Or forget God. Nobody believed that they could even be happy. There was no idea of a path. All they did was complain, you know. We had one saint in the family, and her qualification was that she did not complain. That was literally, I was told. Why, I said, why is Bubby a saint? Well, she never complains about anything. That was the qualification, you know. You know the Jewish lady sitting around, hi, how you doing? Is there anything all right? You know the joke about the old Jewish guy driving through the mountains through a storm, and the wind's blowing and the snow and everything, drives off the cliff. And the car goes down, 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 spinning, 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 and lands like upside down on the branch of a huge tree. So the highway patrol guy comes up on his motorcycle and he runs down the mountain. He finds the guy, he's hanging upside down in the car, right? He said, sir, are you comfortable? And the guy goes, yeah, I'm making a living. Oh, you know, I'm married to a Brazilian. She does not understand one joke I tell her. It's torture. Not one. all the years I practiced abuse, being abused by all this Jewish humor, I can't share with her. It's terrible. So that's about how Jewish I am. I don't know. But like I said, Jesus was Jewish, by the way. Did you know that? Yeah. People seem to forget that, you know? Painting him like a white man with, you know, long, straight hair, a blonde. Forget it. He's about as blonde as you know, Bob Marley. It's, you know, forget it. That's not, you know. And people, he wasn't a Christian. He was a Jewish guy. They call him rabbi. You think, for what? You think he was like the Pope? He was a rabbi. He just happened to, you know, find reality somewhere along the line and wanted to clean up, just like Buddha did with in the Hindu religion, you know. The priests had become all-powerful, and anybody who wanted to be get good karmas had to pay the priests to do pujas for them or ceremonies or teachings. It was the same in the, you know, all the money changers in the temple. You know the whole story. So somebody said, this is not the way it's supposed to be, and tried to change it, and you know. In India, they don't hang people up quite as easily as they did in those days. And Maharaja talked about Jesus. It was so powerful. I mean, he talked about Hanuman, of course, Ram and Krishna and Kali and Durga. But when he talked about Jesus, it was, I can't, it was so powerful, really. I mean, you must have heard me tell this story, but I'll tell you again. So a Canadian guy came to the temple for the first time, and he didn't know anything about Maharaja, how he was. You know, he didn't give lectures, he didn't teach, he didn't write books, he didn't initiate people. He just hung around. So Maharaja says to him, why'd you come? What do you want? So the guy thought he should give like a, you know, spiritual answer. He said, well, could you teach me how to meditate? Get out of here. Go in the back with the crazy people, the Westerners. Go on, go. And as he's walking away, he says, just meditate like Christ. Go on, get out of here. So the guy comes in the back and we, you know, we debriefed anyone who spent 2 seconds with Maharaja. What'd he say? Then what'd he say? Then what'd you say? And then what did he say? What did he do? Did he give you fruit? How many pieces? You know, was, what can I tell you? So the guy said, well, you told me to meditate like Christ. What? You know. So later on, we're sitting in the back, and Maharaja came to spend some time with us, and Ramdas was there. And Ramdas said, Baba, you said we should meditate like Christ. How did he meditate? So Maharaja, it seemed like he started to say something, and then he just stopped. And his eyes closed. And he just sat in front of us, perfectly still. We had not seen him sit still for more than 2 seconds. It was always fruit in all directions, laughing, joking, barking orders to the people at the temple, talking to this one, and all of a sudden, boom. I remember thinking, we killed him. He just sat there, like, and it was... The feeling was like the whole world stopped turning. And then 2 tears came down his cheek. Then he kind of shook himself. He opened his eyes. He said, he lost himself in love. That's how he meditated. He lost himself in love. He's one with the whole universe. He never died. No one understands. No one understands. He lost himself in love. He immersed himself in love. That wasn't my idea of what meditation was, you know. I thought you had to sit there and fight with yourself and beat yourself up and pretend you were meditating. He lost himself in love. what else do we want, right? Wouldn't we like to live there, no matter what else is going on? Wouldn't you like to be in that space where you are open and flowing and connected with everything and at ease of heart with whatever arises in your life? You know, and you weren't prisoner of your own reactions and your own knee-jerk reactions and your own programming from the trauma we've had in our lives and the pain and the broken hearts. And wouldn't we like to be free of that? That's what that is. When we can immerse ourselves in that love that lives within us as who and what we already really are. It's not something else. It's not something else. It's who we are. Right now. I just want to read you just this quick little poem I thought of today. It's from a saint in India named Namdev. I have delved into the four Vedas. You know what the Vedas are? The ancient teachings. And I've drawn forth their hidden meaning. I've churned the six philosophies, the different dualism, non-dualism, semi-dualism, Yukon basketball, you know, the six philosophies. I've churned the six philosophies and I've extracted their essence. And I've learned the ultimate goal of yogis and ascetics. I've known the joy of merging in Brahma, the formless Lord. Oh, my friend, says Namdev, I have transcended all this through the grace of the saints. Realize my mind, that the secret is the Lord's love. The secret is the love. That's the secret. Underneath everything we think we want, everything we're looking for, the secret essence is the love. We want to get back home. Now, he's a devotee, so he expresses it in that way, that the grace of the saints. But a non-dual person would just say, this is your own true nature. This is your essence, is the state of grace. And that's always pulling us home. It's like gravity for the heart. The secret is the love. And the chanting, all these names are the names of that place. So we're constantly invoking and evoking that place which is the love. These are the names of that place within us that is the love. It's not in India, it's not somewhere else, it's everywhere. So, anybody have anything they want to say important? Otherwise, we'll sing. Yeah, okay. Give him the mic. Wake up. Where are they? Here they are.
Hi.
Hi.
You talk about the practice helping to move us closer to our true selves, and you've brought up trauma. When I'm triggered by that trauma, I experience a paralyzing fear in my heart. And I'm just curious if it's been your experience that the practice will help to ease that fear eventually.
Well, there's no question about that in my mind. However, the issue is, if we do the practice only to lessen the intensity of the effects of the trauma, will it work also? And it will. But as you focus on other things in your life, those moments when the trauma arises become less and less as you focus on other things. If you focus only on the trauma and you do the practice to cure yourself from the trauma, of course there will be an effect. But they have this thing is nishkam karma, nishkam, desireless action or desireless practice. So not desireless, but so like I said, Maharaj said, you want to find God, serve people, don't think about yourself, you know. Right? So if you're not thinking about yourself and you start noticing other people more and seeing other people and becoming more sensitive to their needs and who they are and where they're coming from, you're just automatically developing a whole other way of going through your day, which precludes that trauma. It might still be there, but it's not going to get triggered the same way as often. Because even with that, in the presence of that, those issues, you're expanding whole in many other directions at the same time, and you stop caring so much about that. Right now, we tend to identify very strongly with that, and for good reason. You know, it's powerful issues in our lives. But when you start developing loving kindness, and I know this sounds wimpy shit, but loving kindness and caring about other people and thinking about others rather than yourself all the time, you're just creating a whole new way of going through the day that doesn't leave space for that. You're not having to push that away. You're not having to deal with it directly, like I'm taking this medicine for this disease. It doesn't really have to work exactly like that. And in fact, even if you started with that in mind, which is not bad, and I mean, fine, perfect. Over time, the effects will, you'll be thinking about yourself less. And when you're thinking about yourself less, you're not, there's no room for that to arise. Now, it might arise in a certain situation, but there'll be so much more space around it, in a sense, because you haven't been holding on to it in such intensity, you know, so it's kind of like that. But it's all good. There's no, for instance, with the practice of the repetition of the name, these are mantras. There are many types of mantras. There's mantras to find buried treasure. There's mantras to rob banks. There's mantras to get people to fall in love with you. There's mantras to become president of the United States. I wish somebody didn't know that one. But anyhow, the repetition of the name is good for none of that. It's only good for one thing. It has absolutely no It's only good for love, for finding out who you are. It's not good for anything else. Those are the mantras. You find somebody to initiate you in them, and then God bless you. You know, you'll get it. Then you have to deal with it. So, but this is not good for anything other than opening the heart and purifying the heart and opening it up and giving us more space in our life to be ourselves. Yeah, good. Nice. Thanks for asking that.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing your experience and for being so genuine.
Yeah. There's a new movie coming out called Cracked Up by a friend of mine, and it's about this comedian, Daryl Hammond, who was on Saturday Night Live, and it's a documentary about his journey through the trauma that he had and discovering it and how he worked with it and how he overcame so much of it and how it ruled his life for so many years and forced him into so many negative and hurtful behaviors and alcoholism and drug addiction, all that stuff. So it's really juicy. And it's being released next week. So Cracked Up, if you hear about it. Go see it. See, in India, they don't talk about this stuff like this. They need some cultural appropriation, I think. They say ram, 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 and then they go steal from their neighbor. You know, it doesn't work like that. We're all kind of in the same boat, you know. Maharaji had a great devotee named Dada. Dada means elder brother. And Maharaji, his name was Sudhir Mukherjee. He was a communist economics professor who became a devotee of Maharaji. And Maharaji would call him Dada, which means elder brother, which he certainly wasn't of Maharaji's. But Maharaji told his wife, Dada's wife, to call him Dada too. And she said, he's not my Dada, he's my husband. And Maharaji says, if he's my Dada, he's your Dada. So she had to call him Dada too. This book, you can read some of these books, they're out, you know, stories about Maharaji, and get a feel for how he went through his day, how he lived, and how the devotees, how they were affected by him, how their lives opened up and changed. For instance, this guy Dada, he was, like I said, he was a completely non-religious. He was interested in nothing like that, totally into his professorship and all that stuff. And one day, his wife and his mother, who lived with them, they were going out. And Dada said, where are you going? He said, well, there's a little house across the street, and we heard that there's a saint that comes there every once in a while, and we've been waiting to hear when he came back so we could go see him. And we heard he's there today, so we're going to see him. And I said, oh, okay, go. So they left, but they came right back. And Dada said, what's wrong? Didn't you go? And he said, well, yes, we went. And just as I entered the room, the saint looked at me and called me by my name and told me to go. But I didn't go. I sat down, and then he looked at me again in a few minutes and said, called me again by my first name. Kamala, go. Your husband's friends are waiting for their tea. Go. Come tomorrow. So this got Dada curious, right? So the next day, he walks over with his wife, and they walk into the room, and the saint gets up, takes Dada's hand and starts walking out the door and says, from now on, I'll be staying with you. Now, think about you drive up to the Stop and Shop, you know, and you get out of your car and some homeless guy comes up and takes your hand and says, from now on, I'll be staying with you. I don't think so. But India is another universe. So Maharaji, you know, this is Maharaji. long story. But anyway, it's in the books. Really good stuff. Reading about the saints, reading about the realized beings, and seeing how they interacted with people, and seeing how they lived in the world, and what they did, and it's life-changing, really, it is. It's a spiritual practice in itself.
Thank you so much for listening. This podcast has been brought to you by the Kirtanmala Foundation. Krishnadas is renowned for leading Kirtan, the spiritual practice of chanting, and workshops around the world. For more information about him, including upcoming events, please visit krishnadas.com, krishnadas.com. We also invite you to visit kirtanwalafoundation.org, kirtanwallah foundation.org. Here you will find more offerings dedicated to spreading the teachings of Neem Karoli Baba. Love everyone, serve everyone, remember God. Ram Ram.